And good evening and welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I'll be with you for the next hour. And I want to wish everybody, I don't think a happy Lent is would be the right word, but a blessed Lent. And hopefully your Lenten season is off to a good start. And if not, now's the moment to get it started. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners today, and thank you for being with us. I want to also thank you for your prayerful and financial support that's allowed us to be on the radio now for almost 40 years. And speaking of 40 years, we'll be having our 40th anniversary celebration. We'll take place on Sunday, April the 30th from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Malvern Retreat House in Malvern. And the cost is $55 per person or $400 for a table of eight. So come on out and spend the afternoon with us. We'll have a couple of speakers, a great meal, a silent auction to raise some much-needed funds to continue this radio apostolate. And most importantly, we get to rub elbows with all those that support us here at In His Sign. And it's a couple times a year that we get together, this time in the golf outing in the fall, and always a good time had by all. So if you've never been, I highly recommend it. Give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. And put in your reservation, and they'll hold the tickets for you out there the day of the event. And you can also go out to the website, inhissign.com, and download a flyer if you go to the events page. And you'll be able to click on the 40th anniversary celebration, and there'll actually be a flyer there you could download. Maybe print a couple and put them in your parish vestibule or pass one along to your parish secretary and see if they can transform it into a little ad in your parish newsletter. It'd be great to fill the house there for our 40th anniversary celebration, again on Sunday, April the 30th. And while we're waiting for our guests to call, again, today is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. And maybe we'll start the show today with today's gospel. And today's gospel was taken from the sixth chapter of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. And praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to getting to Mass this evening. My local parish, St. Luke's in Glenside, will have Mass tonight at 7 o'clock. If you haven't gotten to Mass yet today or had ashes, a number of parishes will be having Mass this evening. Maybe you have a newsletter from Sunday when you were there. Another place you can look them up, a great website, masstimes.org. I use it all the time when I'm traveling. It's a great website to look up where you are and find the closest churches and the times that they have Masses and various devotions. And like I said, I haven't gotten there yet today, but we'll get there at 7 tonight and hear this gospel that I think we hear most years on Ash Wednesday, reminding us of our need for almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And last Wednesday, we had a great guest on during this hour, Andy Lavallee from livethefast.org. If you missed the show, I highly recommend that you go out to our website, inhissign.com. And if you click on content and then podcasts, you can see recordings of most of the shows that are here Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. And the show with Andy is out there. And if you've never fasted before, a lot of insights that he gave, a lot of materials that that website would provide. Again, that's livethefast.org. And I can speak from experience on the bread that they ship you. I got another shipment coming in tomorrow and using up the last of the first shipment that I received today. And just a wonderful difference that fasting can make in your life. But because we talked about fasting last week, maybe a little bit about prayer, and I'll be the first to tell you that I'm furthest from being an expert in prayer, and I don't know that there really is an expert per se, because I think for each of us it's an individual thing. We can use prayers from the saints, and we can use prayers from the liturgy. We can use the breviary, the divine office or liturgy of the hours. And I think all those prayers are wonderful, but I think they're a starting point. And I remember being on retreat a number of years ago, and the priest giving the retreat, and he was the former rector out at Malvern, Father Dennis O'Donnell, and he talked about a group of kids are in first grade, and it's Father's Day, and the teacher has the kids all get out their paper and crayons, and they're going to make Father's Day cards. And Johnny's really struggling like the Dickens to figure out how to do his card and what to put in it and what picture he wants to do. And he turns to his friend Ann and says, "Ann, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to write. I don't know what to draw." And Annie says, "Well, here, give it to me. I'll do it." And Ann draws a beautiful picture on there and writes the beautiful words. And Johnny takes home the card on Friday from school, and on Father's Day on Sunday, at breakfast, he gives his father the card. And he the father looks at the card and he's like, "Oh, John, this card is great. And I really like the picture that you did." And he's like, "Well, John, Johnny says, "Well, Dad, I really didn't draw the picture. I had my friend at school, Annie, she drew it." And then Dad says, "Well, that's okay. I still like the picture." And then he opens up the card and he's reading the words. And, "John, I really thank you so much for this card. I love what you wrote." And John was like, "Well, Dad, I really didn't know what to write. So I asked Ann and she wrote it." And he's like, "That's okay, John. I really appreciate the card." And what Father O'Donnell would go on to say is that a lot of times when we pray the prayers of others, when we pray the prayers of the saints, and we pray the prayers of the breviary, they're all fine and good and a starting point, but we need to make prayer our own. We need to open our hearts and our souls to God. A wonderful book that's been helping me with that is one called Divine Intimacy. It was written by a Carmelite priest that Father McKay had told me about. And in that book, just in the meditation yesterday, it talked about the first commandment, and that we will love God and we'll love Him with our whole heart and our whole soul. And it really struck me, do I really love God with my whole heart and with my whole soul? And how do I know when I'm doing that? I even asked Father McKay last night, how do I know when I'm doing that? Is it something that you feel? And because I don't always feel like I'm giving God my whole heart and my whole soul. And I know that there's times when I really don't, and that's when when sin comes into my life and everyone else's life. I'm sure I'm not the only one listening today that needs to go to confession on a regular basis. But do I really do that? And I think the answer, and part of the answer the Father gave me last night, is in the desire. That's my desire, to give God my whole heart and my whole soul. And one of the ways we do that is with prayer. And I think for some people, it's like, well, why do I have to tell God what I feel about this and how I feel about that? He already knows. Well, I'm not telling Him anything He doesn't know. And I think the secret is that We're not telling God anything he doesn't know, but we're telling ourselves things that we don't know. And sometimes we open up and it's just how many times have we had conversation with a loved one, with a spouse or a really good friend. And the conversation will start out as simple as a how do you do and what are you up to and how are the kids. And sometimes you end up in some deep conversation and you say to yourself, you know, and you may even say to the person you're having a conversation with, how did we get here from where we started? And I think that the same thing happens in our prayer life, that, you know, we may just start out with, God, here I am, and I'm going to give you 7 minutes because that's all I got before I got to put dinner on, or that's all I have before I have to get to this next meeting, but I'm going to give you these 7 minutes. And you just start out as simple as, you know, got off to a rough start this morning. I overslept. I got mad at somebody in traffic, you know, and here I am, Lord. And my own experience is that thoughts will start to come. And next thing you know, there's a conversation with God. And I don't hear voices, but it's a conversation that's taken place in my mind. And it becomes a prayer. It becomes a recognition of things that I've done, things that I need help with, friends and family members that may need God's help, and asking God to help them. And I think when we take time to have that conversation, we take time to have conversations with our spouses and our loved ones and our closest friends, because we need that. We need that interaction with other people. We're not, we're a communal people. We're born to live in community. Although I know that there's some that are able to, and God bless them, hermits and some of the religious orders that will go off and lead these solitary lives. But even when they do, I think there's certain times when they still come together as a community, especially perhaps in a monastery. The hermits may be a whole different story, and I think that that's a wonderful thing. It'd be awesome to be able to have one on the show someday. I know that there's a few that actually live in the middle of Center City, Philadelphia, and they live that private life of prayer. But for most of us, it's that living in community, and in order to live in community, we need to communicate. And we do that all the time. I thought it was even interesting that one day last week, I've mentioned on the show as a result of having Father Heilman on a couple times, this Nineveh 90, and one of the requirements or one of the things we're asked to do each day is to go to Mass. And there was a couple days last week where, for a number of reasons, I couldn't physically get to church. And with the beauty of the Internet, and it can be a beautiful thing sometimes for all the bad stuff that's out there. There is an awful lot of good. And one of those would be a website called CatholicTV.org that I stumbled upon. And you can watch Mass live online at noon each day. And then if you can't make it at noon, they record it. And it was one evening last week after Sue and the kids had gone to bed. And I was able to get comfortable, get quiet, and turn Mass on. And it was actually the priest that celebrated the Mass was deaf and mute, and he actually signed the Mass. And I was in awe as you're watching this priest do the American Sign Language, and all the expression that was in it, because in that community, in order to communicate, a lot of times it's their expressions and their body movements that are required in order to express certain expressions or certain feelings. And to watch this priest actually act out, if you will, the readings and show the emotion behind the prayers, and it was really something to behold. But it shows us how important that communication is, and that even if you can't speak or hear, that there's other ways of communicating, like sign language, And there's also a whole body language that so many of us use. And most of us don't know it. Again, in a conversation with Father McKay, what a lot of folks may not know is that he spent a number of years in the deaf ministry and can sign himself. We used to have a gentleman, God rest his soul, Anthony, that would come up to Mass on Tuesday nights once in a while at Calix. And if he was there, Father would sign different parts of the Mass, especially at the Kiss of Peace and during his homily. And so Anthony would have an idea of what he was saying. And Father had told me that I think it's up to 55% of the communication that takes place in a conversation is the body language. You know, we can say anything, but if our body is saying something different or our body's not going along with it, people pick up on that. One of the examples that I, was telling Father that I struggled with a long time, because I work with computers and sit in front of a computer all day, and the coworkers might come over and sit down and have a question, or they just want to talk for a minute. And I see it all the time where people that are working on computers will continue to do what they're doing on the computer while they're trying to have a conversation with someone. And I knew for myself that I really wasn't paying full attention to what was being said to me. I would half hear. A lot of times I would have to ask them to repeat because I wasn't really listening. And I've tried to get into a habit now where if I'm on a computer, whether it's in the office or at home or doing something else, if I'm reading a book or whatever activity I'm involved in and somebody wants to have a conversation, that we need to put down what we're doing and really pay attention, because I think more of a conversation these days, at least for myself, is listening than it is talking. I'm not a huge talker when I get into conversations. I like to listen. I try to give short and, what do they say, short and sweet answers. I'm really not a great conversationalist. And the fact sometimes that, I have to sit here for extended periods and continue to talk to folks that aren't even in the same room. Imagine that. I have no idea if anybody's listening or if a lot of people are listening. And but anyhow, to really pay attention when we're in those conversations and to so that we can hear what somebody's really saying. And from their body, if you're not looking at them, you don't see the body language. They can, you ask somebody how they're doing and they can say, "Oh, I'm okay." And if they say it with a smile, well, you may believe them and you know that they're okay. But if you say, "How you doing?" and they say, "Okay," but they have this frown on their face, they're not doing okay. And if you don't look at them and see them, you may not pick up on that. And then the next question can be, "Well, you're saying you're okay, but it doesn't sound like you're okay. Is something going on?" And again, that same type of conversation, if we can use our imagination a little bit, I think we can have that same conversation with God. That, imagine that God's saying to you, "Hey, Ken, how you doing? Hey, Joe, how you doing? Hey, Barb, how you doing?" And answer frankly. And I think for so many of us that it can be hard to open up to other people. And see it all the time in 12-step rooms and people that struggle with addiction, that it's really hard for them to open up to other people because they don't trust. It's hard for them to open up to other people because they've never done it before. And, if we're in those situations and we can't do it with a family member and we can't do it with a friend, I think it may be even more difficult to do it with a God that we may not see, a God that we may not really know. And, we have to have a starting point somewhere. I think that's part of the whole issue with abuse, perhaps, or not having a father at all, and then being told that God is our father. And if you've never had a father to deal with, or a loving father that conversed with you as a child, you may not even know how to talk to a father. But it's in that conversation, at least to me today, that is the most important prayer. Again, all those rote prayers, the rosary, you know, pray the rosary every day. And it's a wonderful tool, but it's not, again, the prayer should be as much a timing mechanism as they are anything else, that we're given the mysteries of the rosary to meditate on. And sometimes we may not ever get past the first mystery, or we get to the third mystery, and you know, maybe we can just stay there and meditate on that third mystery for a while. Or maybe you know, if you're lucky, and I'm not there yet to be a contemplative, you know, God can pull you away in the middle of the rosary, and time will lapse, and you spend time with God, and you come back, and where was I? The rosary's done its job at that point. There's no need to, you know, perhaps pray the fourth and fifth decade. I know when I first came back and first learned how to pray the rosary and got the instructions, and I'd be on the fourth decade, and I'm praying, and I get distracted for a minute, or who knows, maybe it was contemplation, and God pulled me away for a minute or two, and I come back, and it's like, where was I? And it's like, was I on the fourth Hail Mary, the fifth Hail Mary, the sixth Hail Mary? I give up. I shouldn't have even started this to begin with, because in my mind, if you're going to do it, it had to be done right. Otherwise, it didn't count. You know, it's kind of going back to school and, you know, and taking the test. You got to do it right, or, you know, the wrong answers aren't going to count. But with God, he's not an accountant, and he's not counting the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers and the Glory Bees. He wants us. He wants our hearts. He wants our souls, and to just be given over. And I think that's where all the prayers that we say, all well intended, are to an attempt to move us into that next phase. And you know, I'm envious of those who can consider themselves a contemplative, and I can't deny them it, you know, one way or the other, that they aren't. But for people that have developed such a prayer life, and at some point we'll get Father McKay, whether it's Saints and Sinners or this show, and try to get into contemplative prayer, because it's something that we're all called to. If you, again, you go back to the documents of Vatican II, and the writings of a lot of the saints, you know, all of us are called to that deep prayer life. And so many folks, myself included, run around with these shallow lives and shallow prayer lives, and we can avoid it. There's so many ways to avoid it, and I could list them up and down for 2 or 3 days, all the things we can do to avoid prayer, or to actually think that we're praying when we're really not. And we've heard that, right? You know, when we think we're praying, we're not. And when we don't think we're praying, we are. And I would use action for a long time as a prayer. And, you know, whether it was some of the ministries I was involved in, you know, taking communion to the sick and the homebound, my involvement with Calyx, my involvement with other really good organizations, all of which took some of my time. And I would use that is an excuse and, you know, say to God, you know, I'm going to give you this next hour of what I'm going to be doing. And that's my prayer. And that works for a while. And it kept me plugged into God, if you will. But the more we develop along the spiritual path and the more that a prayer life develops, you realize that, at least I realized that, that I was avoiding prayer, that I was avoiding that deep prayer. Because I think any time that we start to do things and we want to do it well, that we have a fear that we're going to have to give something up. Almost anything we do in life, you know, we're fixed in time. God doesn't live in time; He's in the eternal already, and we can try to plug into that eternal, and even as you know, ascetics would do and the mystics would do. They may be able to escape physical time for a short period and spend time in the eternal with God. But eventually, unless they die and go to the eternal, they come back to this physical time. And for us, that time consists of 24 hours a day. And part of that time is going to be required for sleep. part of that time may be required for work unless we're retired or independently wealthy, neither of which I am, so I need to work. Much of that time could be spent with family members. We may have children that need our attention. We may have elderly parents that need our attention. So all these things that pull it up at us and pull at our time. So when whenever we want to add something new, we need to take away from something else. And I think that with God, that sometimes we think, well, I've given God enough. I gave him this hour at Mass today, or I gave this 30 minutes of the Rosary, or I gave 15 minutes for the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And if I give any more, then I need to look at something that I need to cut out of my life. And I know for myself, for a lot of years, there were plenty of things that could have been cut out of my life. And you know, I've been fortunate enough to have God, and especially I think the Holy Spirit influenced my life, and to point out to me those things that may not be necessary. And you know, when I would say that I don't have time to do this or do that, if I really took the time to look, there were things that could be cut out and allow for other better things to be added. So we're going to take a short break. Hopefully when we come back, I would love to hear from our listeners and what your prayer life is like, and maybe what it used to be like and how you got to where you are, and perhaps what you're doing in this Lenten season to deepen your prayer life. So the number's here, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-34-FAITH. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Hello, Father Glacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host for the final 28 minutes or so, Ken Johnston. And I'd really love to take your calls this hour. I guess it was a mix-up with the guest we were supposed to have today. And So we can continue our conversation really from the previous show when we were talking about the Lenten season and prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And in the first half of the show, I've been talking a little bit about my own prayer life and what it means. And I would love to hear from others, especially if you've worked your way through a prayer life and, you know, maybe some of the things that you've done that have drawn you closer to God and really deepened the time that you spend in prayer. So again, the number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-34-FAITH, that's 888-343-2484. In the meantime, just a reminder that coming up on Sunday, April the 30th, if you don't have it marked on your calendar now, please mark it down. 1:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon at the Malvern Retreat House, we're going to be celebrating our 40th anniversary celebration of this wonderful radio apostolate in his sign, Catholic Radio. We're going to break bread together and have a wonderful meal. A couple speakers, including none other than our president, Kathleen McCarthy, and a silent auction to help raise much-needed funds for that for this radio apostolate. It doesn't get any cheaper. And we truly thank God and praise God for all that you do for us, your prayerful support, and especially the financial support that helps to pay the bills and keep us on the air here. The cost for the afternoon is going to be $55 per person or $400 for a table of eight. So why not grab some friends and bring them out? Maybe introduce people that don't know about this radio apostolate, bring them out and then give them an opportunity to meet Kathleen and hear her talks and get them plugged in here to In His Sign. Also, the website, we're doing my best to keep those podcasts up to date. If you've missed the show, you can go out to the website at inhissign.com and click on content and podcasts, and you can get the recordings of some previous shows if you missed them. And again, we'll try to keep that up to date as best we can going forward. Also, for the 40th anniversary celebration, there's a flyer out there. If you want to print it out, maybe share it with friends, put it on a bulletin board in the church vestibule of your parish to let folks know. You can download it and print it right off the website if you go to inhissign.com and click on events. So, before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about prayer, one of those things that we're told about in today's gospel. And you know, our church calls us to it all the time, but, you know, especially in this Lenten season, to deepen our prayer lives. And I just thought I would open up the second half of the show with the second reading that was heard today at Mass. Again, with the feast that we're celebrating today of Ash Wednesday, you know, we have the two readings and what have you. So today's second reading was taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, and it's chapter 5, verse 20 through chapter 6, verse 2. Brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Working together, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord, and thanks be to God. And thanks be to God. Father McKay must have stayed on the line listening after we finished our last show, and he's actually called in. Hello, Father.
How you doing, Ken?
All right, pal. How are you?
I'm doing okay. After listening to you, I wanted you to go on and on. But anyway, I thought I'd call back in because Mass is over at the church tonight, and I have a wedding rehearsal after, so, you know, I didn't have Mass tonight here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
for those that may not join us in the 4 o'clock hour, this is Father McKay, my good friend. We do Saints and Sinners together from 4 to 5, and normally 6 o'clock on a Wednesday evening, we'd be having Mass at Our House Ministries down there in the Matt Talbot Chapel at 29th and Dickinson. But again, because it is Ash Wednesday and the ministry doesn't want to conflict with what goes on in the parish, they'll be having Mass over at St. Gabriel's Church. And that's at 7 o'clock tonight, Father, in case anybody's listening and needs to get...
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, yeah.
All right. Well, if you're nearby, you can get there. If you got a ways to travel in rush hour, it may not be real easy to get to. But if you're, you can get to St. Gabriel's at 29th and Dickinson in the next 20 minutes, that's your stop for Mass and Ashes on this Ash Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were asking for caller-ins to share their prayer life, and I thought, well, maybe I can do that, you know, a little bit, how it all starts, and, you know, it really starts with a seed and then it blossoms, you know. Mm. But listening to you, Ken, it was wonderful to hear you talk about the rosary, and that is a contemplative prayer. You know, I was thinking of John Paul II, who wrote the beautiful work on the rosary, and he said that the rosary without contemplation is like a soul without a body, like a body without a soul. And so all of our prayer needs to lead to the end, you know. And I remember, you know, as a little kid, you know, my mother would teach me how to make the sign of the cross, you know, and then point out the statues in the house. And then, of course, it was the verbal prayers, especially from the Immaculate Heart of Mary sisters. You learn the Glory Bees and the Hail Marys, the Our Fathers, the creeds, the act of faith, hope, and love. And then we were getting a little more in depth with prayer. My sister would teach us about the examination of conscience, and then we would examine ourselves before we go to bed at night and make a good act of contrition. And then it was somewhere along grade school that I came across ACTS, and that was kind of a real breakthrough for my prayer life. ACTS, A-C-T-S. The A stands for adoration. The C stands for confession. The T stands for thanksgiving, and the S stands for supplication. And it just was put in a form to prayer, you know. Yeah, that sounds great. You know, just adore the Lord, started out there at the sign of the cross, just sit in his presence adoring him, and then go through our day, you know, confess our sins. But thanksgiving, you know, looking at the day and thanking God for all the wonderful gifts, and then, of course, the petition prayer. And I worked that for a while. It just gave me a nice structure, you know. And you find a quiet place of solitude where only God can find us. You know, go to that room again and shut the door. I was thinking of the idea of the telephone booth. When we were kids, you had the telephone booth outside, the public telephone booth.
Yep.
We used to see how many guys we could fit into the telephone booth. But at night, there was a visitor from another country, and he came into the telephone booth and opened up the door, and he got the telephone book to call his friend. But he couldn't see because it was dark. And somebody was passing by and said, "Hey, buddy, close the door and the light will come on." So he shut the door, the light comes on. And that's what our Lord was talking about. You shut the door and the light comes on. But the other form of prayer was the Jesus prayer that I came across, that book, The Way of the Pilgrim, you know, where the Lord is saying that we should pray always. And the pilgrim wanted to know, how does one pray always? You know, and he went to different monasteries to say, well, how does one pray always? And finally he comes up with the Jesus prayer. And, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he kept repeating that over and over until it was just flowing out of him. And that was pretty beautiful, you know. I was doing that for quite a time. But then I came across centering prayer. And it was like the four-step dance. Now, in centering prayer, you start with Lectio, and then meditatio, oratio, and contemplatio. I know the listener's saying, what? You know, but I always break it down to the four R's. It's like a four-step dance. Lectio is just to read the Word of God, to take it in, to drink it in. And then you use the mind. You meditate on it. And, you know, put yourself in a particular gospel scene. And then oratio is you respond to the Word of God in love, you know. But contemplation is your whole being is now resting in God. And that was the four-step dance. But the mystical doctors of the church, John of the Cross, you know, I kind of came across them as a seminarian and just, you know, was really taken back with the mystical doctors of St. John of the Cross and Teresa Avila and how well they teach us about this deep prayer and this contemplation where it all leads to just being alone with the alone.
Hey, Father.
Being silent. The language of God is silence. Yeah. And he speaks to us. You know, when we experience peace in our hearts, it is the Lord. When we experience joy in our hearts, it is the Lord. It's an experience of God. But we need to be doing God's commandments and doing what he tells us, and he'll reveal himself to us. He will come to us, and that's his promise to us. And, you know, it's there that we need to have that pure of heart and listen to him. Blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God, and only they. And a lot of times I used to think that see God is the beatific vision, and I realized, no, it's to experience God now in this life, in contemplative prayer. Heaven can't wait for us. We have the Mass. This is really Jesus at the altar who's transcending us right home to the Father. So, you know, you have the beautiful mystical doctors of the church and Teresa's mansions that I started to delve in, John of the Cross. Like you said, John of the Cross said, when you think you're praying, you're not. When you think you're not praying, you are. And that's the hunger and thirst, like the deer running for stream, that the Lord leads us into this purgative stage in the desert that we're lured into by the Father. And it's there where he espouses us and marries us. But it's the world has to be burned out of us. And we're led to that in this beautiful purgative prayer that God is getting ready to transcend us and just to hold us and hug us where we can experience this inner presence of God, this love of the Father. But I
Amen.
Was, you know, when I had an experience not that long ago, Ken. It was actually when we were on the retreat with your group there.
Yeah. Hey, Father.
And I was reading the Gospel of Luke.
Hey,
Mark
Father.
And Mary.
Father?
And, yeah.
Before we go to the experience, we got a caller. Do you mind if I interrupt for a sec?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Mario.
Hey, Ken. Hi, Father Doug.
Hey, Mario.
Nice to hear you're on the radio and enjoying your show.
Great, Mario.
First off, I just want to thank you, Ken, for doing those podcasts because many, many times people are driving home at this time and you cannot get good reception in your car.
Yeah.
And, from, of course, from 4 to 5, most of us are working.
Yeah.
So 5 to 6 drive time is the only time we could really get our listen to the show, and then it's bad reception. So the podcasts are really great. I thank you. I know you got a lot to do, Ken. You do a lot of work in Grace Ferry and on the radio, and it takes a lot of time to put this podcast. But I want to publicly thank you.
No, I thank you, Mario, and I owed you a text message, my friend.
Okay, and the other thing is, I was prompted to call you for that reason, but also for something else. You mentioned something about throwing the seed out there earlier with prayer. And it's funny because today I went to Mass at the cathedral, and, you know, you got the ashes on, and just in a conversation with somebody at work, a good person, and I said to him in conversation, I said, what are you giving up for Lent? You know, what he's doing for Lent. He said, I ain't giving up nothing. And he's a good man. You know, he says, I don't give nothing up for Lent. I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you give up something for Lent and say it in front of your children and throw a seed out there so that they see that you are experiencing Lent and you're making a sacrifice? I said, I want to tell you a little story. I said, I knew a guy who came from a very religious, non-Catholic family, Assembly of God family. They were very religious people, church going. The one son went off and, you know, in his wild years, got involved with a very notorious motorcycle gang. I don't want to give it any credence by giving the name of it. But years later, when he had gotten out of the gang, and he had been in it for a long time, and he had gotten his life back on track and following the Lord, he said to me, you know, it's funny, Mario, he said, I got involved with that gang, and I was living their life for many, many years. He said, and they would get into some very, very wild things. He said, and I would always go to a certain point, but I never crossed the line with some of the things that they would do because the seed that was planted way, way back when I would go to the church and hear from my parents, he said that seed was still within me, and I wouldn't cross that line. So talking about Lent and prayer, and the priest today in the homily at the cathedral, he said, you know, the outward sign of the ashes is good, but the inward, what we do in secret, the way God spoke to us in the gospel, don't let your right hand know what your left hand doing. Keep that part going. But I also believe the outward manifestation, it's not bragging to tell people, you know, I'm doing this for Lent, I'm praying the rosary more, I'm reading the Bible, I'm giving alms. I think that outward manifestations you know, the priest said in the homily today at the cathedral, he said when he was at St. John's on 13th and Chestnut in the 90s, he said they used to have 11 masses a day, and they distributed ashes to 25,000 that's to me was an amazing number of people that got
a lot of palm.
And the cathedral was packed today. It was so beautiful to see. It looked like you know, the boardwalk in August. People just thronging into the cathedral, and people standing up in the back for mass and for ashes. So I think that the Catholics, and I don't know if any Protestant denomination use the ashes or not, I think that's a good thing, to walk around and let people know that you're not ashamed of your Catholicism, not ashamed of your Christianity. And I think you're throwing seeds out there just by that outward manifestation. So I'll listen to your response, if you have any at all.
Yeah. No, I would say you're absolutely right, Mario, and we don't know, you know, whose lives we touch and who sees us and who doesn't. I think it's God's way of keeping us humble. And, you know, we may have had a big impact on somebody and never get to know it. I think, you know, Father and I have joked from time to time that if the church gave something away every Sunday, that we'd have people there. They all show up for palm. They all show up for ashes.
Besides Jesus.
And besides, I was getting there, Father. You know, we give out the Eucharist every day.
Yeah.
You know, the most important part. And, you know, I even have a woman I work with. I didn't go into the office today. And but normally I get a call from her on Ash Wednesday. And it's the only day of the year that she goes to church. And I don't get it. And I don't push, but you know, anybody that calls me and says, "Hey, can I come, you know, hop a ride to church with you?" Cause I know you're going, and you're more than happy. You know, it is odd sometimes, you know, how many people would show up for Ash Wednesday and yet not be there on Sundays. Your comments, Father?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, Mario, with the ashes there, you know, and the words that we hear, you know, remember, man, thou art dust, and dust you shall return. That's one of the forms. And it's just a reminder to us that, you know, we're not made for this world. You know, we're made for God and to live forever in heaven. And the other form was repent and believe in the gospel, you know, to change, you know, to get serious, you know, to get off this, you call it, Ken, the six-lane highway and get onto the narrow way, you know, the way that leads to life. You know, the other ways, it leads to a dead end. Thomas Aquinas said that it's better to hobble and crawl and even fall down on the way with Christ than it is to run along any other way, because any other way leads to a dead end. But the way of Jesus is leading, you know, from worldliness into godliness, from sin into grace, from death into life, from sorrow into joy, you know, and all these wonderful gifts that God has in store for us and wants us to enjoy even now. But we have to deny ourselves. And, you know, we deny ourselves not for nothing, but for everything. You know, deny ourselves of worldliness and take hold of God and the gifts of God. But, yeah, and that sign you mentioned, you know, not to be ashamed, you know, to show that we're proud to be Catholic. That's who we are. And we don't know when people look what they're thinking, how the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, whether they're wondering or thinking about the truths of salvation. So it's a beautiful sign that we have for one another when we have the ashes on our foreheads.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Mario.
Great job, Father and Doug. Father Doug and Ken, great job, and especially for the work you do for the people who are addicted. And I was happy to hear President Trump last night give such prominence to drug issues in our country. I think it's overlooked. They talk about terrorism all the time, and, you know, we've had our punches from terrorists in the United States from 2001 on, but nothing compares to the scourge of drug addiction. And he prominently mentioned it in his speech last night. And our governor in New Jersey has got this hotline now for people who are drug addicted. But you guys are silently doing so much to help people, silently in the sense that it's not broadcast all over. But I want to thank you because I know how much you help people and how much people look to you as a beacon in Grace Ferry and throughout. So thank you both.
Thank you, Mario.
Yeah, thanks, Mario,
no
for the call.
No longer an epidemic, it's a pandemic, a plague. You know, it touches all of us, the drugs.
Yep.
Right. Thanks, Mario.
God bless.
Thanks, Pat. God bless.
Good, Ken. It's good that you're getting some recognition there, buddy.
Hey.
Well, God bless you.
I don't want the recognition now. I need it when I'm up there being judged.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, and the recognition, I mean, it, as much as the recognition could be for the individual, and I know you would say the same thing, it's we're just trying to cooperate with what God would have us
do. Right.
And
anything good comes through us, but not from us.
Right.
It's just praising the Lord, you know, for his goodness that we're participating in.
And that's
so right, Ken.
And that's where the joy is. The joy is knowing that, hey, you know what? God asked me to do something, and I may have got it right this time. Mm-hmm. You know, after all, how many times did you get it wrong? And or don't even listen, and now just to be able to have a hand in his work, and to, you know, just try to be a vessel that he can use, you know, with so many people now on Tuesday nights during Mass, you know, they want to hear the song "Here Am I, Here I Am, Lord." Because I think especially for the addicted that have been away from church for so long, that now they really do. They want to be there. They want to do their best to discern God's will and to play a role. And that's really, you know, one of the beauties of the 12-step programs is in that, you know, the 12-step that we, you know, we take what we learned and try to take it to other people. And, you know, the goal of the 12-step program really is to bring people to God. And so in that 12th step, you know, if our recovery is working out and we've grown closer to God, now it's our job, really, to do that for somebody else. And I think that's why the 12-step program has been successful, where a lot of other anti-alcohol programs or other abstinence programs may have failed because they missed that one part that once you get it, you know, you're obligated to share it with others. And
my 12 steps, don't you, that I gleaned from St. John of the Cross, Ken? You remember those 12 steps?
Yeah, I think it starts with cry, doesn't it?
No, let me give them to you. Here's the 12 steps. Deny, deny, deny. Cry, cry, cry. Die, die, die. Rise, rise, rise. So we deny ourselves to rise. We deny, and when we deny ourselves, we cry. But then we're going to die to ourselves in mystical death and find this new risen life with Christ. And I guess, you know, if I can just end what I was saying with Martha and Mary in Luke 10, that Mary's at the feet. She's in contemplation. And then the very next chapter after that, that Mary has chosen the better part. She's one with the Lord, and she won't be deprived of it. Then we go into chapter 11, and the apostles come to him. One of them says, Lord, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. They see Jesus in prayer. He's absorbed. He's absorbed in prayer. He's caught up in prayer. And that's how they want to pray, because they know the Jewish prayers. And John the Baptist, they're contemplatives. He's lived in the desert. He's so one with God. So the next chapter 11, he says, well, when you pray, say, Father. He stops, he drops the hour, Father. Now it's personal. Now it's direct. You know, we used all the means that I had talked about earlier, all the means, and now we're at our end. So sit and be still and enjoy the Father's company, the Father's love. Shut the door on our inner life and be hidden and hide with the Father. Shut the appetites out, all the world out, and just be with the Father. And this is how Jesus prayed, absorbed, you know, in contemplation. And Luke is teaching us all this in his gospel. It's a gospel of prayer, you know, to pray like Jesus, who is always communing with the Father. And that's the end, you know. And sometimes we do a lot of verbal prayers, rosaries, and multiplying words and words, and they're supposed to lead to meditation, where we can meditate, put ourselves in the scene, but then contemplation. Meditation, and we're doing it. Contemplation, now it's God's turn to act upon us and to infuse us with so many blessings and gifts and mercy and forgiveness and love. I'm glad I could get that in.
In record time, too, Father.
Yeah.
You know, something that you could probably spend a whole week, you know, give a whole retreat over the course of a weekend in. And but it is, I think it's important because so many of us stop short. And, you know, if we're not hanging with the right people and hearing the right sermons and reading perhaps the right books and learning this stuff, we can be left short. And sometimes when it's dry and it doesn't seem like anything's coming, it makes it real easy to give up. So I want to thank you for chiming in and refreshing refreshing us on the prayer. I think we may have talked about it about a year ago, but especially at this time of year in this Lenten season, when we're called to that deeper prayer life, one of your three of your 12 steps were deny, deny, deny. That's fasting. Right. So we're tapping right into the Lenten spirit.
Yeah. So, well, it was great to chime in, Ken, and yep. I'll tell you that you sparked me. You know, you excited my inner life with Christ when you start talking about contemplation. Yeah. And that's where it's all at, you know. That's where God acts on us. So give the Lord permission to act on us. Be still. Close that door and go into the inner room of our hearts. Be in the wine cellar with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you again, Father. It's always good to be with you.
Okay, Ken. Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Well, I want to thank all of you for hanging with us for the past hour. It's been a privilege to be here. And some things, everything happens in life for a reason. And for whatever reason that Sarah and Foster couldn't join us today, hopefully she was drawn away for something really worthwhile, but gave us this opportunity to spend the last hour talking about Lent and prayer. So I want to thank you for being with us, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, we're in Lent. Great time to come back to the faith if you've been away. Great time to get to the Sacrament of Confession if you've not been there in a while. And draw yourself closer to God and accept that invitation that He offers to each and every one of us. So until we meet next Wednesday, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Until then, take care and God bless.